I feel a little surprised and maybe disgust by that person who's been trying to do cartwheels. I'm just going to be honest. Welcome to Rhythm and Relationship. We're on a walk tonight. So you're going to hear our feet moving on the sidewalk. You're going to hear cars going by. If the night unfolds the way it started, you're probably going to hear some people shouting at one another.
Definitely heard that.
Yeah, public park has been, a private therapy session for at least one couple.
Very eventful here.
It's been a hot day. Maybe people feeling a little crazy. I don't know. Hot series of days, really.
Yeah, it's only the beginning of July and feels like we've actually had some summer. I mean, it's probably been a week or two, but for us, it's like, oh, wow, this is summer.
Our house is without air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
We have one small little air conditioning unit in one room, and so I find reasons to be in that room often.
Yes.
But this time of day, I love this.
Yeah.
The cool of the evening, you got the breeze coming. And so we thought we would bring you along on a walk. We were already walking, already having a conversation, and I think it's a good one. And so I thought, why don't we record?
Yeah.
And as the old saying goes, kill two birds with one stone.
That's right. I mean, the last time we recorded a podcast on a walk, we encountered some raccoons, right?
Last time was raccoons. So this time, just to give context, we just watched a young couple have a very loud, very profanity-laced conversation about their life and where they see it in comparison to one another, how they see their future playing out as they walked and sort of scampered across a field and then back and then out into traffic and then back out of traffic and then interspersed in their shouting was some hugging and then hugging that looked more like wrestling. It's been eventful.
Yeah.
So I've got one eye open watching how their story unfolds. If at some point I drop the phone and run, it's because it got a little bit out of hand.
Out of hand, yeah. Definitely.
But emotion at the top of the surface, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I have, over the last few moments here, we've been walking, we've observed this couple expressing extreme anger.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw a guy on a skateboard wearing a Hawaiian lei with a party drink in his hand.
Mm.
And he had his sunglasses on and his shirt was unbuttoned and his hair was flowing. I'm like, this dude is experiencing a different set of emotions altogether. And it got me thinking about emotions in general, like being an emotional person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're an emotional person?
I think so. I think I've probably learned to learn how to manage them a little bit more because having eight kids, I think people are always like, oh, wow, that must be so tough. That must be crazy. Probably the challenge of parenting more than one child is that you have many emotions going on at
simultaneously
at one time and within one household. So I think in the midst of that, I've had to learn to, because I'm trying to help everyone manage their emotions and, you know, be responsive to the emotions playing out around them. I think I've learned to be a little bit more aware of my own and how it affects everybody around me.
So on that spectrum of thinker feeler, where do you think you fall?
I feel like I'm leaning more towards think right now.
In this particular season,
mm-hmm.
You feel like more of a thinker.
I feel like more of a thinker.
Because I think you're more of a feeler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have come to believe that perhaps that continuum is kind of a false dichotomy. Because
mm-hmm.
we think and process thoughts certainly in our mind, but our emotion,
mm-hmm.
it affects and filters even the way we think. And our thought processes and our logic matrix of how we solve problems
mm-hmm.
is also linked to the type of emotion that we're in.
Yeah.
I mean, most of us process thoughts differently under pressure than we do when we're not under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
We process thoughts differently when the mood is light than we do when the mood is heavy. And so emotion, it's something that we really all are. We're all emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
And every relationship has this interworking of emotions. So I've just got some thoughts around, is that positive or negative? Mm-hmm. Is that a helpful thing? Should we as a couple be in touch with emotions? So that just has me thinking that everyone's emotional. Every relationship's emotional. It's just a matter of, is it healthy emotionally or is it unhealthy emotionally? Is there a strength in the expression of those emotions or a weakness in the expression of those emotions? But we're all emotional.
Yeah. And even as I think back to the question you asked, yes, I am very emotional. I think what I've learned is I, in the midst of so many emotions playing out around me all day, I think I don't necessarily show them all my feelings, but I agree with you. Yes, I feel many things throughout the day. Many feelings. Yes, you are right.
Should emotions be expressed, do you think?
Yes.
Always?
I do think so. I think that's part of maturing. I think that's part of wisdom, is learning when and how to go about it. So in the role I play in a house with 8 people that I'm responsible for, it's my job to help them navigate their feelings. So then I also have to be aware of when and how to make sure that I'm also managing my own feelings properly.
Right.
You know, I do think it's a responsibility. But isn't it interesting that God could have made us without feelings? Like, clearly God gave us feelings, emotions, right? Like,
absolutely.
He created them. And it is very complex, and I do think that as humans, I think we kind of fall on the scale of not being very good at managing them as well as we could. Like, I think there's few who are experts at it, but it's a great thing to aspire to, I think.
It's interesting because I think we often credit people who have a muted form of expressing their emotions as being the most mature,
mm-hmm.
but I don't necessarily know that that is accurate.
Yeah.
So here's some Bible for it. The Bible says that a fool gives full vent to their anger.
Yeah.
So clearly anger would be one of those emotions that, to just say I'm going to express it in full volume, who cares the time, place, or context, that's foolish.
Mm-hmm.
It also says that in your anger do not sin, meaning it's possible that anger could fuel some blindness towards some things that would otherwise be sin.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when describing David, who was a man after God's own heart, it says it seems as though his worship was kind of like without any sense of reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that he said, I'll be even way more undignified than this.
Yeah.
Like, there's no holding back to joy. So maybe different emotions
mm-hmm.
have a different appropriate expression. The Bible also says that Christians mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice, meaning that we share emotions with each other because of our compassion for one another and our care for one another.
Yeah.
So in the context of a marriage relationship or a romantic relationship, what role do you think emotion plays in the expression of that emotion?
Well, I don't think it's possible to really know someone deeply and truly unless you are sharing emotions and feelings. Like, if you aren't being open in every area of your life, then I think that limits how close and how together and how unified you can be as a couple. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I do think there has to be 100% transparency. But I'm not saying that, oh, so when you're angry, you're just free to let it all out. Because obviously, anger is usually, it hurts somebody else, right? So anger is one that I think you have
well,
to
I found
so,
a list of
so
emotions.
Careful.
I might get to those in a minute.
Yeah.
That definitely is
anger is one you
that you
got to
be
so careful
conscious
with.
Of.
Yeah.
So you mentioned 100% transparency. And I agree that that's the goal to aspire towards. But probably no one listening in, if we're honest, ourselves included, are at that 100% transparency mark all the time. That's what intimacy is, though. It's growing in intimacy to a place where you're vulnerable, not just with your thoughts, but what you feel around those thoughts. Like, I can laugh at something I find funny, but I'm in public and I don't know the people there and I don't feel known, or maybe don't feel like safe to be that vulnerable. So I left quietly, put me in this same environment, same joke, people that I know, people that I trust. Man, I'm going to express that a lot differently.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the indicators of a relationship that's growing more healthy would be a greater level of freedom mm-hmm. around expressing emotion mm-hmm. and a greater level of understanding around why the person you're with is feeling the thing they're feeling
yeah.
and how to help them if that feeling is one that needs to change, and how to support and compliment them if it's a feeling that needs to be encouraged.
Yeah.
So I said I found a list of core emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just pull these up here. This is pretty interesting. So, similar to color, there are primary emotions. I know you like things that are compared to color.
I do.
So you got three primary colors,
mm-hmm.
and the combinations of them, they say, whoever they are, the people that study such things, say that you can combine those three primary colors to make 18 decillion varieties of color.
Yes.
So that's an 18 followed by 33 zeros. Like, essentially almost infinite
yes.
combinations of color that are unique from one another. And yet, for the most part, ask me, it's, you know, white, gray, or black. Those are the three colors that are the most important in any closet. But there's this almost infinite number of possible colors on a spectrum. When it comes to emotions, according to the American Psychological Association, there is 8 primary emotions.
Okay.
And these 8 emotions, you can combine to make some combination of about 34,000 different emotions. Again, this would expose how far perhaps I have to go to really being in touch with my emotions. But when I read these 8, I think you will resonate with them, that these are truly like core base emotions.
I mean, having 8 kids, I definitely feel like I face.
Okay, well, let's not name 34, one with each.
Yeah, 34,000.
So let's not name one kid to each emotion.
No, I'm just saying I face that many a day getting thrown at me, all the different emotions.
Here we go. Ready? Joy, sadness, trust, disgust, fear, anger, surprise, and anticipation.
Okay, so for any of you who are inside out watchers like myself, you feel a little bit like, what? That means there's 3 whole characters that got left out of the movie.
Okay, for those who are not inside out watchers, now we're really talking inside language. The Pixar film depicting
yeah,
5 core emotions.
5 core emotions. This has 3 extras who are not in the film.
So we're missing in that film trust,
surprise,
and anticipation.
Yeah.
So these core emotions create kind of like a grid where all other emotions stem from. The funny thing is, when having a conversation about emotion for so many couples, the answer to what are you feeling is either good or bad.
Yeah.
That's an insufficient conversation around
true.
Emotions.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? I am feeling good
yeah.
is not really an answer. I mean, hey, great place to start, I guess, if you believe that to be starting. These 8 core emotions kind of help ground a little bit all of the other feelings that you can feel.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, sadness, trust, disgust, fear, anger, surprise, and anticipation.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When's the last time that you laughed loud?
I had a few good laughs last week because Zion, as well, you were in Ecuador,
mm-hmm.
but Zion just said some funny things that just caught me so off guard that I literally laughed out loud because he just says things. And then I would message Justin, who was in Ecuador, with Zion just said this, and I would quote it to him because it was just so funny. So hopefully I made you laugh too.
You did.
But
the funny thing is, I was in environments where I was not around people
mm-hmm.
that I knew and was known by.
Yeah.
And so my laugh was stifled and quiet.
Yeah.
But had I been at home, in the same room, at the same place, there would have been maybe more freedom around that. When's
yeah.
the last time you cried, like really cried?
Last week, okay, so for everyone listening, we just had our very first week of summer holiday. So there. We wrapped up the school year. Justin was in Ecuador, and we've just had our first week of holiday. So I feel as we've had parents, like we've been parents now for 19 years, and we've learned this over and over again, that you get to the end of the school year and everyone is just emotionally exhausted, maybe physically tired, but definitely emotionally exhausted. So I'll probably answer all of these with like, oh, last week, because right. At the end of that school year, you feel like this huge mixture of like, oh my goodness, we did it. Yes, we did it. Yes, it's summer. That was really tiring. Like you just kind of feel this wave of everything, and some things are over and it's kind of sad, and you're happy it's summer. So it's a big mix. Last week I cried because somebody got mad at me and I cried about it.
Oh man.
Yep.
So they're expressing one emotion. The result for you was not the same emotion. That is interesting. We're going to create about 34,000 different storylines that you can take from this.
That's right.
So someone got mad. Your response was sadness.
Yeah, I always feel bad when I cause people to get angry. I feel like it's my fault. So I definitely cried about it.
We might need to read this American Psychology Association journal, because it's not necessarily your fault just because somebody else gets mad. Okay, how about trust, that feeling of trust? I think this is great that that is expressed as an emotion.
Yeah, very interesting. Because
trust is, it's more than just intangible. When you are in a place where you trust, you do feel different.
I honestly feel like I feel that every day with you, because I do just trust you in like decisions that we have to make every single day. And they do feel like big decisions every day about family life. So I think I feel trust quite often.
So I'm going to say that this is the feeling most missed when I'm away. When we're apart recently here for missions, mm-hmm. was gone. It wasn't that long of a trip. But over the course of that trip, things are good. We're still expressing happiness. We're still expressing sadness. Mm-hmm. There's still moments of anticipation or anger or surprise. But it's the trust factor that's kind of missing, that presence brings.
Yeah.
And I always find those first handful of hours, or maybe even the first day or two, when I get back, it's like, oh, there's that foreign feeling, that feeling of just being able to be at ease.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Kind of comes mm-hmm. back into the room. Yeah. Well, I'll share disgust. Okay, last time I felt disgust.
Okay.
On my way to Ecuador, getting laid over in Houston.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. So airport stories are what they are. It's kind of a privileged thing to be able to travel, to be able to get in a little metal tube and, you know, sleep while you watch a movie, wake up and be in another continent. Mm-hmm. I get it. But traveling can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to think it has some glamour to it. Rarely is that ever the case. So we're in Houston, delay. We board the plane. We watch the safety demonstration. We pull away from the gate. Only to have the pilot explain that he's now reached overtime and will not be flying.
Oh, my goodness.
So back to the gate we go. We deboard the plane. As we're deboarding, they say, please go to such and such gate. There's a desk there. They're going to help everyone figure out, we might still get this flight out tonight. And I know the trick. I'm like, there's no way we're getting the flight out tonight. And someone said, well, what if we don't? They said, well, at that table, they're going to give you vouchers for hotels. They'll give you vouchers for food. They'll make sure you're on the next plane. So I went to that table, and in that table were, you know, or in that table was like a queue, a line of hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood in line for 7 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And as the line was slowly moving forward, realized that hotels were not on the table. Food was not on the table. And the next possible flight that they were putting people on was 5 days later. Oh, well, my trip was only 6 days long.
Yeah.
So I was pretty shocked, and I gotta say, disgusted mm-hmm. at the customer service experience.
Yeah.
And I felt some empathy for the people who were working in that customer service setting.
Yeah.
Because everything people complained with, they were like, yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? They're like, this is unfair. Like, yeah, we totally agree.
Yeah, I know, like, they have like zero power to do anything.
Tell that to our, and they're like, if you can find one of our supervisors, can you try sending them over? They don't answer our calls.
Yeah.
And again, if we're going to go down one of these little 34,000 rabbit trails mm-hmm. on emotion, I'm like, man, that was a masterclass in diffusing strong emotions.
Yeah.
Because all they did was agree with people, mirror them back and say, oh, you're totally right.
Yeah.
Masterclass, maybe not honest, maybe not authentic, but it made people feel heard. And I think sometimes in relationships, husbands or wives, boyfriends or girlfriends, or in a sibling relationship, friend relationship, co-working relationship, we can do the same. Mm-hmm. We go, what's the quickest way to just get out of this? It's not going to solve anything. It's not going to make it different. I will just mirror back what I can sense you're sensing.
Yeah.
You seem happy? Ha, 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 ha. That is funny.
Yeah.
You seem sad? Let me cry with you. You seem frustrated? I agree. That is frustrating.
Yeah.
That is unjust. But that was pretty disgusting. Fortunately, I've traveled enough. I pulled out my phone in hour 7 and just solved the problem and got on a plane like 2 hours later. But this poor old lady in front of me was put on a plane 5 days later.
Yeah.
She didn't speak English. Through a translator, made it clear that she didn't know anyone in the city. It was just very unjust, super disgusting. Hey, what about fear? When's the last time you felt fearful?
Fearful? I don't know.
Okay, let me put another word to fear because I think it's appropriate. Stressed.
Stress? It's funny. I think if I looked back 10 years, the things that I found stressful then, I've probably just become better at handling. So I don't find those things as stressful, you know? So I feel like you can kind of, I guess that's what you do when you feel challenged, is you grow stronger, and then those things don't seem so heavy or stressful anymore. I don't know. What about you?
I guess obstacles become opportunities, as someone's Instagram probably says. It's true. So I, upon returning home, found out that I'm undergoing a little audit, which is just not fun.
No.
And I look at it logically. I'm like, I guess that this could be surprising. It could be a little inconvenient, but my emotional response, as you have been able to tell, has been one of stress.
Yeah.
I feel stressed about having, you know, doing something wrong, getting a form wrong. I hate doing forms. Yeah. I hate filling out paperwork.
For people who enjoy keeping paper trails, that this is like, oh, nothing, but that's not everybody's forte in life.
Fortunately, I have the whole trail.
Oh,
I just have to walk back over it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, man, but for some reason, that's been the feeling. And it's reminded me I need to grow more compassionate for those who struggle with feelings of stress often. Because I realize I don't have as many tools to handle stress. I tend to think I'm a person who just, I don't get stressed that often. Maybe it's because I have so many tools. Or maybe just the stimulus I'm around doesn't bring this particular emotion out of me, but I'm working at some better tools around handling it. Okay, what about anger? When's the last time you felt angry? That feeling like around injustice or mistreatment?
I mean, I shared a story in my message a few weeks ago about Titus's basketball game and one of his close
friends. You were fired up.
Yeah, I was angry. He got in a fight. One of Titus's friends got in a fight with a boy on the other team. And I don't know, I felt furious, not at Ty's friend, but just, I was like, what is happening? That boy has to get away from, you know, that this boy that I care about, because he's been a close friend of ours for a long time. And when, you know, the coaches don't do anything, the refs don't blow a whistle, nothing, they just, everyone just sits there and watches this fight, I was furious. I found myself like storming down the bleachers and like on my way to do something.
Right.
I was furious. I was definitely mad.
I was parking the vehicle. Pardon, maybe I was taking Sophie to work and I got back and you were fired up. I walked in and you were, you know, doing breathing exercises and trying to stay chill.
Yeah.
And I could tell something has changed in this room. Ty's buddy's on the bench kind of crying. Everyone looks shell-shocked. You're ready to, like, rip someone's head off.
Yeah, I was. That was...
I kind of wish the ref hadn't stepped in. That would have been fun to see.
Well, he didn't. That was a few... Like, Titus got there first, thankfully, because I wouldn't have been able to really do anything. Grade 9 boys are bigger than I am. But Titus got there first and, like, pulled the other guy off of his friend. And then finally a ref blew a whistle. So... it was all tight.
So you were angry.
I was very angry.
Okay, how about surprise?
Okay.
Was last time before that that you felt surprised?
You got me. That was surprising. surprised. Man, these are tough. I don't know. I don't think I really like.
I think this speaks to how difficult it is to be really in touch with emotions. Mm-hmm. If these are the eight core ones, and we still can get down to, how are you feeling? I feel good. Okay. How are you feeling? I don't feel very good.
Yeah.
I think it's great to name these things. Yeah. When's the last time you felt surprised? Caught off guard. I think the hardest one to put a finger on, because it can make you feel disgusted. It can make you feel joyful. Like, you can be joyfully surprised. Yeah, you can be sadly surprised by grief.
I was incredibly surprised when that person got mad at me. When that person got mad at me last week, I was very surprised.
So you have that combo feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then anticipation. What are you most looking forward to right now?
Honestly, I love the summer. The first little bit of it is kind of like, because everyone is emotionally tired, it's just like we all have to be a little bit more patient with each other and just remember like, oh, everyone's just still feeling pretty exhausted from the year. So I kind of like when we get a few days of rest and then it's like, oh, summer. And we can actually like savor the moments, not feel like everyone's still just like, just want to lay on the couch and do nothing. You know,
right.
We're just like, oh, like, we made it. Oh, so I'm actually looking forward to that. So I feel like in the next few days that will hit.
So in all of these emotions, mm-hmm. eight of the 34,000, the eight building blocks, I am tempted to rank them from most important to least important.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably a really emotionally ignorant thing to do. However, I will say this, that joy, mm-hmm. of all of these emotions, is the only emotion that is also ascribed as a fruit of the spirit.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
I think there's a time for sadness, mm-hmm. certainly. The book of Ecclesiastes makes it clear there's times for everything. If Solomon were to write it now, he could say there's a time for disgust and a time for fear, a time for anger, a time for surprise.
Yeah.
But joy is a fruit of the spirit. The more time you spend with the spirit, the more joy becomes robust in your life,
yeah,
and
agree.
Vibrant in your life. And yeah. I think in our relationship, the more time that we include the presence of God into our lives, mm-hmm. the more time we're in, you know, I shouldn't even say time as if it's quantitative, but connected to our willingness to invite the Lord into the middle of our relationship,
mm-hmm.
to pray and to involve the wisdom of God's word in our relationship,
yeah.
the more joy there is. And so sorrow lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Yeah.
The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is an emotion that makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Fear over time, my goodness, fear over time will only ever make you weaker.
I agree. Yeah.
It's a response to danger, so it's important.
Yeah.
Without fear, we do stupid things.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing you can do in response to fear is remove yourself from the situation,
yeah.
so that fear subsides, or invite strength into the situation so
mm-hmm.
fear can dissipate. But joy isn't an emotion you need to run away from. Joy is one that you can continue to build on.
Yeah.
I want in our relationship there to be like joy-sadness combinations and joy-anger combinations. So like, I'm joyful, but that is mistreatment, and it's not going to steal my joy away,
mm-hmm.
but we have to respond to it. Joy, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, is it possible? Joy, disgust? Can you be repulsed by something and still have joy?
I think so. I think in the moment, even when you're feeling it, you can still have like a foundation of joy there. So I think if you don't, you just get like despair, you know?
That's
like
true.
You're just like, oh, joy keeps you like, sustains you. I think joy is very sustaining.
Which I suppose is why the scripture says we can count it all joy,
yeah.
when we face trials of many types.
Kinds, yeah.
So whether our trial feels more in the area of disgust, more in the area of fear, more in the area of sadness, we
yeah.
can still consider it all joy and learn how to
yeah.
color each of these spectrums of emotions with joy.
Yeah.
Because the Lord's present and God's here and there's peace in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm preaching now.
Yeah, this is good. This is
I should good. Go find that lady who's still yelling at her boyfriend and yeah. maybe we can convince her into some joy.
Yeah.
So what would you say has been the most effective tool? You said that you've become better mm-hmm. at expressing emotions. What have been some of the most effective tools that you've used or that we've used to help foster that?
Yeah, I think I've become better at navigating different feelings, like as everyone is feeling various things throughout the day and I'm feeling along with them. I think it is important, like self-awareness, which I think we've already clarified is not always easy to be self-aware about what you're feeling. Because even as we listed it, it was like, when have I felt that?
Right.
But growing in self-awareness, it's a continual process. I think that would be one thing.
I think the more reps you get at having emotion-filled conversations mm-hmm. without losing perspective on why you're having the conversation, mm-hmm. the better you get at it. It's like a muscle, like any muscle. You use it, and as you use it, you have the strength to be more gentle with it and have more dexterity with it.
Yeah.
I think one of the did you say what do you think? And then I answered that.
No, I just said it, and then you.
Okay. I think here is one of the So I believe one of the foundational, did I use the word tools? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I believe one of the foundational tools has been and continues to be the ability to have a good conversation where emotion is acknowledged and expressed without that conversation turning into something it wasn't intended to be. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah,
like to share sadness mm-hmm. without someone trying to convince you out of being sad, yeah. but join you there. To
yeah.
even share anger and frustration without the other person going, well, you think that makes you angry. What about me? It's a difficult thing to do because when you invite emotion, emotion invites a response
yeah.
or a reaction. And so I think responding rather than reacting mm-hmm. when the person you love shares emotion
yeah.
is so pivotal. It's so foundational.
Yeah, I do think that emotion really can only grow and get healthier if it's can safely be shared. Because if it's like a person tries to share an emotion and then it gets either shut down or misunderstood or just like then creates chaos,
right.
then I think that shuts down that person wanting to share any emotion.
I agree. So we talked in our relationship series at church, the importance of separating things we think from things we feel.
Mm-hmm.
That makes that conversation possible. Without that, so I've already sort of showed my hand. I think joy is the greatest. I think trust is right up there as well. And so sometimes you get in a conversation, you're sharing an emotion that's unlike joy or unlike trust. Maybe you're feeling disgusted. So I've already sort of showed my hand. I think joy is the greatest. It's the most sustaining and strong. Trust is probably right up there close. But sometimes we get in an honest conversation and the emotion that you need to express is disgust or it is anger or it is fear. And without the ability to separate and go, like, are you disgusted or you're feeling this? Like, do you really believe the thing you're fearful of is strong and dangerous, or you're feeling that and we can respond to it?
Yeah.
Without that ability, those conversations become less and less effective.
Yeah.
And I think I have found over the years for many couples, and we've been in this camp at times, it's like, what's the point of having that conversation? Mm-hmm. Why have an emotional conversation? Because in the end, you don't get me and I don't get you, or you don't feel what I feel and I don't feel what you feel, and we're just on separate pages.
Out of my feelings,
right, so convince you out of it.
Yeah.
So how do you have that conversation without convincing the other person out of it,
mm-hmm.
but without losing what you're also feeling.
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to sharing, I think it means you both have to be willing to rather than just like pounce, right. Maybe just slow it down a little bit. I think that's been helpful for me, is that rather than just trying to like quickly throw on a Band-Aid and call it a day, actually take a moment and try to sort it out. Like, what do I think? What do I feel? And then in return, you can share like, oh, well, that makes me feel like this. This is what I think and feel about it, and try to like sort them out, because then I think that allows for you to become unified again, because sometimes emotions separate people, right, when you're feeling different things. But in a relationship, you hope to be unified, so you kind of work through it step by step.
That's so true. We feel quickly, but then the thoughts we think about those feelings, the logic we put around that emotion, is something that we access at different speeds or in different ways.
And sometimes we're just plain bad at finding the right words to express what we're feeling.
Right.
So we use the wrong words, and then it leads down a completely different path. And it's like, this is not what I was even feeling. You know, and I think that comes with the more you practice and the more reps you get in. Like you said, you practice, you try to talk about it and find the right words and the right language, which does just take time, and time is valuable, but it's worth putting in the time.
Let me bring it back to that scriptural thought for a moment of rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn. In order for us to do that well, it usually means that we're doing both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was spoken into a church context where you're in relationship with multiple people.
Yeah.
So you're feeling more than one thing empathetically at one time. It's why you can actually only truly have a genuine empathy towards a certain number of people. At some point you cap out.
Yeah.
You can feel, you know, sympathetic feelings towards them, but genuine empathy with those that you're closest with, where you are sharing their feelings, but their feeling, it's like, again, if we put in that picture of color, it's just changing the color of what you're feeling a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not dominating.
Yeah.
It's not, well, if you're blue, then I'm blue as well. It's, well, I'm going to take that into account. It's going to actually shade and shape a little bit of what I'm feeling as well.
Yeah.
But also, you talked about timing, that it takes time, slowing it down. We're walking out here looking at dogs running around and people playing baseball. I lost my train of thought here. But when you said that, it made me think of this, that knowing that it takes time, sometimes we simply don't have the time. And I think emotional maturity allows us to say, I can't express all that I need to express right now, but later when I can, I will.
Yeah.
And later when I can, even if I'm not feeling it the same way I was, I'm going to revisit it so that we can actually grow closer and get to know each other better.
Yeah.
Like I noticed a little vibe, a little something. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to discuss it. For you to say, hey, I don't have time right now. I'll explain later.
Yeah.
And know that later on, you don't just say, oh, I'm good now.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't have a chance to get to know you better then. Because I noticed something, I couldn't put a word to it. And now that you're not feeling it, you can still kind of reference it back and grow. So if you're listening right now and time or season of life or maybe distance is making it hard for you to have those meaningful conversations, make sure that you don't allow emotion to lead your conversation. And by that I mean this: don't just wait until you're feeling happy and say, we only have so much time for conversation, we only have happy conversations. Don't just wait till you're angry and say, our time's so limited, we only fight. Like, it's the only time we really get emotional is when we fight.
Yeah.
Don't build friendships that the only time you ever connect is when you're both feeling sad about something. And so, oh man, that's the friend that I cry with. Mm-hmm. If you're building a life with someone, they need to be brought in on the full spectrum of those emotions. Because the truth is, we're all emotional people.
We are.
Well, as the evening winds down here, what are you feeling now?
Well, I really enjoyed walking around outside. It's beautiful. So there was some joy felt tonight. Mm-hmm.
And I feel a little surprised and maybe disgust by that person who's been trying to do cartwheels. I'm just going to be honest.
I maybe want to introduce a ninth emotion because I'm rather surprised. Mm. Ooh, see, I'm learning the language here. Surprise that hunger is not an emotion. Okay. I'm actually feeling hungry. I'm surprised that's not on the list because I feel like that affects everybody's that's emotional true. State.
Well, some people add hunger and anger together.
Yeah. That one seems to go hand in hand.
Putting hunger and anticipation together. It's the thing I'm looking forward to.
There we go. Yeah.
So I think we should head home now.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for listening today, wherever you're listening from. If you're listening on a platform that allows you to rate this, please take a moment, send us a rating, send us a review. If you think it might help somebody, share it along. And as I made mention to, we did just have a series of messages at our church about relationships. Over the last 6 or 7 weeks at Vivid Church, we talked about relationships. We will put a link to those in the content of this podcast as well. Would love for you to go along and listen and continue to grow. It's our conviction and our hope that the relationships and the lives of the people around us will just get stronger and stronger, more and more intentional, more and more vulnerable, more and more authentic, allowing us to have resilience through all the seasons of life. So, have a great day. So we thought that episode might be done, but we're driving home now from the park we were walking at, and I just realized probably did not acknowledge enough the importance of expressing negative emotions. I can tend to talk about trust, talk about joy, and as if the resolution of every emotional conversation is then we come back to joy. For instance, sadness is a healthy emotion in response to grief. And if sadness isn't expressed, grief can't go anywhere. Grief can't turn into something beautiful. Like ashes can't be turned to beauty unless that sadness can be expressed and discussed.
Yeah.
And so conversations around emotion, the end goal is not just to get happy.
Mm-hmm.
The end goal is to be honest,
yeah.
to be vulnerable, to be heard and understood. And sometimes sadness persists.
Yeah.
And sometimes anger is more complex than just now that I've shared it, I can get over it.
Yeah.
And sometimes disgust actually fuels ongoing healthy decisions. And without it, we wouldn't make those.
That's
so
right.
All of those emotions are important and valid.
Yes.
Now I'm just enjoying the beautiful girl, the beautiful weather. And trying to make it all bright and cheery. But all of those emotions need to be expressed.
Yeah.
And the one other thing that should be acknowledged or said is to be not good at this and then just be frustrated that we're not good at this is useless.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get better? Well, yes, conversation. Yes, reps. Yes, having that patience with one another. But also often it's inviting wise people into our lives who are good at this.
Yeah.
Getting around people who are better at this, whether it's other couples who are emotionally healthy, or it's mentors and leaders, or maybe a therapist, a pastor, someone you can have conversation with who helps draw out the nuanced complexity of the emotion we're feeling. Because saying, hey, like, give yourself more time to have a conversation that's still one word answers is not the answer.
Yeah.
Give yourself more time and then you will be able to express your feeling more thoroughly. Maybe not. Maybe we need some other tools as well.
Yeah.
But here's one thing I do know. It is worth the work to be emotionally healthy. It is worth the effort and endeavor to get on the same page, to hear and to be heard. And I think it colors the vibrancy of our relationship to not just share thoughts, but to be able to share emotions.
Mm-hmm.
To not just have opinions, but to let those opinions sink in and affect. My goal would not be that we have a you know, monochromatic relationship, but why would we not want to use all
34,000 varieties of colors in our relationship. Why would we not want the vibrancy that that brings?
Yeah.
So I just need to acknowledge, it's not all bright and cheery. It is not all butterflies and unicorns. Sometimes you need to really get down into the things that hurt and discuss those things. Because I promise you, no matter who you're in relationship with, they are an emotional person. They might be terrible at expressing it. They might right now be a little dysfunctional at knowing how to respond to it, but they're emotional. Okay, I think that was all. Just needed to make sure I acknowledge that. However, you might listen to this and say, you gotta be joking, that shouldn't be all. I had 6 other ideas, 2 life stories, and a bunch of thoughts that they missed. We would love if you'd go on Instagram to Justin and Jennifer Reimer, leave us a comment there or send us a DM. Mm-hmm. You're probably right. There's probably big gaps in this conversation, yeah. But hey, it's a summer evening, we're on a walk. I just got back from Ecuador and I'm getting ready for an audit. So I'm not necessarily on my A game. It's just the truth of my emotion right now.
That's right.
I want to be honest with you. But please do send us a comment. We would love to chat further.
Yeah.
And we look forward to future conversations.
Thank you for listening to Rhythm in Relationship. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And if you enjoyed it, share it with a friend. You can connect with Justin and Jennifer by following them on Instagram at Justin and Jennifer Reimer. DM a relationship question and they'll respond and just might feature it on a future episode. If you're looking for more inspiring content, follow Vivid Church on YouTube or Instagram. This podcast was produced by me, Kezia Reimer, with creative input from Sophie Reimer. Featured music by White Cricket. Check out more of his songs on SoundCloud.